As reported by the Daily Mail News last August, Chelsea Russell and her family were boating on Lake Powell in Utah. The whole family was together in the same boat, but no one had their life jackets on, unfortunately. And one of the children fell overboard, and Chelsea Russell dove into the water to save her son. As family members tried desperately and she had already jumped off, to stop the boat and turn it around to go back and to help with the rescue. Incredibly, she was able to hold her child above the water until the boat came to rescue him. But by that time, she had submerged beneath the water and she had drowned. And she was already unconscious and then had drowned. And family members tried to do CPR on her at the scene to no avail. She was dead. But her child survived. Her child survived incredibly. Is there anything that can be said to doubt a mother's love for her children? In the words of Helen Steiner Rice, a mother's love is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking. It never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. You know, Paul's trusted companion and his son in the faith, Timothy, was greatly influenced by his mother, his loving mother, and his grandmother, as we can see in our text for this morning in 2 Timothy 1:5 and chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, as he sits in a Roman jail cell awaiting his execution. Paul writes to Timothy, "Listen, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Chapter 3, verse 14, "Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." On this Mother's Day, I want to reaffirm with three short points here this morning the legacy of godly mothers. The legacy of godly mothers, in that, first of all, godly mothers have instilled in us a love for the Scriptures. A love for the Scriptures, which is so very important. From the time that Timothy was an infant, he must have heard the Old Testament Scriptures read to him and taught to him over and over and over again. He heard it from his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, who made it their business to teach him God's Word. They took seriously God's call through Moses to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. "These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children and talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates." They took that as their full responsibility in raising, as Eunice raised Timothy, and grandmother was in there as well. And it's always the responsibility, isn't it, of Christian parents and grandparents, I might add, to lead their kids to Jesus Christ and to live for Him, because they are surrounding the kids with so much of God's Word and with prayer. And she, along with dad, make it their business to attend worship regularly on Sunday morning with their kids, where God's Word is regularly read and explained and proclaimed. How important is this spiritual training in the home? I want you to listen to Judges chapter 2, verse 10. And I want you to see if these words apply to our day and age. After that whole generation, it says, and he's talking about Joshua's generation, had been gathered to their fathers. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Isn't that exactly what's happened in our country? From generation down to generation, the percentage of born-again Christians, has declined in our nation with each succeeding generation. Tom Rainier gives these statistics in his book, The Bridges Generation. Those born between 1927 and 1945, 65% are born again Christians. And then you go to the next generation, born between 1946 and 1964, that's my generation, 35%. The next generation, between 1965 and 76, 16%. And then those born between 1977 and 1994, 4%. Today's generation of young people in many ways is morally and spiritually adrift. And that's not to say that we don't have some good Christian young people today who are in this church as well. We have very fine young people in this church. And this is not to say that you don't believe and that you aren't trusting in Jesus Christ. But from generation to generation, there is something that has been lost. A few years ago, the late Charles Colson and his staff launched a year-long education program designed to equip 100 people each year to defend a biblical worldview and to teach it to the next generation. One of the participants in the program sponsored a Christian club at her local school, and the students were leading this club, and there was a woman who was helping to manage this club, and they were exploring four basic worldview questions. Number one, where do I come from? Number two, why is the world in such a mess? Three, is there a way to fix it? And number four, is there a purpose for my life? Everything was going fine until they got to lesson 10, which led to a series of choices to be made between matters of truth and matters of taste. One of the choices was believing Islam, Buddhism, or Christianity, which flashed on the screen for the kids. All but one of the eight student leaders completely rejected the idea that Jesus Christ was the only way to be saved. And the kids went home and they talked to their parents. One preacher actually told a student that no one could be sure of the truth in their life. Can you imagine a preacher saying that? That no one can be sure of the truth? The kids came back and decided that they weren't going to offend others by saying that Christianity is the only true way. The adult leader told the student leaders that they would not have to teach that lesson if the other students didn't believe it. I'm going to read that verse again. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. You see, when kids don't believe that Jesus is the only way to be saved, and he is, then usually it's their parents who don't believe that as well. When kids don't believe in moral absolutes as taught by the Bible, then their parents probably don't believe in those moral absolutes. Research shows that only 1/3 of adults who say they are born-again Christians accept moral absolutes in our nation today. Only 1/3. Listen, as adults, and parents and grandparents, when we get our beliefs straight in our minds and in our hearts, and we pass them along to our kids and our grandkids, they'll have a Christian worldview as well. As parents and grandparents, our greatest legacy is to instill within them a love and respect for the Bible, which points to Jesus as the only way, and the only truth, and the only life. That's the legacy of godly mothers. That's the legacy of godly mothers, to instill a love for the Scriptures and to demonstrate a sincere faith. Demonstrate a sincere faith. You know, you received one set of genes from your father and one set of genes from your mother, and the combination of these pairs that you've inherited is called your genotype. And the genotype determines the actual traits that you have, your eye color, all the traits about you, whether you're nearsighted or farsighted, whether or not you have dimples. We genetically pass on physical traits to our kids, but we cannot genetically pass on to them a faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen by osmosis. And a commitment to Jesus Christ and his church. Just because we believe and follow Christ doesn't mean that they're going to believe and follow Christ and follow suit. Mother's Day is traditionally the day that we thank our moms for teaching us so many good lessons that we've learned in our life about hard work and sacrifices, and they kept us fed and they kept us clothed. and they made sacrifices to raise us up, and they encouraged us to do well in school and to do well in sports, which are all fine. But also for those of us who have grown up in Christian homes, it should certainly be the time we thank our Christian mothers for having a sincere faith. And the key word there is sincere. Genuine, Paul's talking about. This genuine faith, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, your genuine faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Having a genuine faith means what? That we walk our talk. Amen? We walk the talk. There is no difference between the two. Oh, sure, as parents and grandparents, we've made mistakes, haven't we? We've blown it. From time to time, we blew it from time to time with our kids, but when your faith in Christ is sincere, and by and large you walk your talk, then they're going to follow suit, they're going to catch on to that, they're going to realize that and notice that. It's like the little girl who asked her mom a very important question, "Mommy, what is a Christian?" The mom thought for a moment and replied, "A Christian is a person who loves and obeys God, loves their friends, neighbors, and even their enemies. They are kind and gentle, and they pray a lot. They look forward to going to heaven and think that knowing God is better than anything else on the earth. That's a Christian." And the little girl pondered what she had said for a moment, and then she asked, "Mommy, have I ever seen a Christian before?" She said, "Have I ever seen one of those?" Yeah. Well, she should have. It's our kids and grandkids, if they're going to learn those invaluable lessons from us, faith lessons, and they come to know Jesus Christ for themselves, and they want to be in church themselves, then our faith cannot be phony. Our faith cannot be phony. It cannot be hypocritical. The word hypocrite means someone who pretends, someone who play acts. And our kids are watching us. They're not stupid. They're watching us very closely. We may not think that they're paying very much attention to what we say, what we're thinking, how we're acting, how we're treating others. But they do. They want to know if our faith is real or not, especially when the hard times hit in our lives, the tough times hit us. They want to know if our faith is real, if we're going to stand on our faith in Jesus Christ. As someone once said, the values we leave our children are more important than the valuables that we leave them. I want you to listen to Susanna Wesley's Rules for Raising Children, and they still apply today. Subdue self-will in a child, and thus work together with God to save his soul. Teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. Give him nothing he cries for, and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. Oh, that would be a big one, wouldn't it, huh? Today? To prevent... I heard that. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Command and reward good behavior, and strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. It's not just about talking the talk, is it? It's about walking the talk. Walking the talk. Eunice was obviously sincere in her faith. She wasn't just a churchgoer, but she was a Christ follower. She was a Christ follower. That's the legacy of a godly mother who instills this love for the Scriptures, demonstrates a sincere faith. And thirdly and lastly, she passes along this desire to serve others. I want to read for you the time when Timothy joined Paul and Silas in their ministry. Paul came to, in Acts chapter 16, he came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Here Paul had been stoned in Lystra for his testimony and left for dead. And yet Eunice is not trying to prevent her son from going with Paul on his missionary journey because she thinks it's too dangerous. for Christian missionaries. There's not even a hint in this text here of her trying to prevent him from doing this. She had prepared him for this time in his life to serve others for the sake of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. She knew God had this purpose for his life, so she let Timothy go with Paul, and that she had completed her highest task. As Acts 16 indicates, Timothy had a father who was a Greek, but there is no evidence that he played any part in Timothy's spiritual formation. Eunice assumed this task, and we continue to try to do the same as Christian parents and grandparents. But one day, we've got to let him go. We had to let him go for a lot of us here today. The truth is, our kids are not ours to begin with, are they? They're always the Lord's. They're just stewards. We're just stewards of these gifts from God. For as long as they're in our care and through our lives of service for Jesus Christ, we can pass along this desire for them to serve God and serve others as well. I want to make one last word here about grandparents before we close. I've talked about Timothy's mother, Eunice, a lot here this morning, but what about Lois, his grandmother, who made such an impact as well? Psalm 128:6 says, "May you live to see your children's children." Proverbs 17:6 says, "Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children." You know, one of the last Old Testament kings was Hezekiah, whose father, Ahaz, was one of the worst of kings. How in the world did he grow up to be such a great Christian man and leader anyway? Well, Hezekiah had a godly grandfather, Jotham, who helped mentor Hezekiah in the ways of the Lord. If you're a grandma, a grandpa here today with your grandkids, you have a tremendous impact upon them as well for Jesus. You can, even if their parents have gone astray from the Lord and his church, you can make a huge difference in their lives for Jesus Christ. You can have a huge impact on their lives. You can still instill within them a love for the Bible. You can demonstrate before them a sincere faith. And you can pass along to them a desire to serve others. And that's the legacy. That's the legacy of godly mothers and grandmothers and parents. If you are a Christian mother, grandmother here today, you're on a spiritual mission still. You're still on this mission for Jesus Christ, for your kids and grandkids. I want to read in closing this entitled "A Small Handprint on the Wall." They'd be thinking about your kids, and we're thinking about our kids today as well. "One day as I was picking the toys up off the floor, I noticed a small handprint on the wall beside the door. I knew that it was something that I'd seen most every day, but this time when I saw it there, I wanted it to stay. Then tears welled up inside my eyes. I knew it wouldn't last, for every mother knows her children grow up way too fast." They do, don't they? "Just then I put my chores aside and held my children tight. I sang to them sweet lullabies and rocked them into the night. Sometimes we take for granted all those things that seem so small, like one of God's great treasures, which is a small handprint on the wall." You know, usually we have moms and grandmoms stand up on Mother's Day to be applauded and thanked, and we haven't done that here yet today. I'm going to do it a little bit differently. The Bible says this, "Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." I want moms and grandmoms to stay seated here this morning, and the rest of us to get up right now. Let's get up, the rest of us, and give them a hand this morning. Give them a hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you reflect the love of Jesus Christ, who gave up everything for our salvation and for our forgiveness. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you for this very special day. And Father, we do arise and we call mothers or grandmothers blessed. And we praise them, Father, because of their great love for you. We thank you that they taught us the scriptures. For those of us who had Christian mothers, and and demonstrated a sincere faith and showed us what it means to serve you by serving others. We know that when we serve others, we serve Christ. Thank you so much. We praise you for the love that you've demonstrated to us that is reflected by Christian moms and grandmoms, Father. The love of Jesus, who gave up everything on the cross for our forgiveness and for our salvation. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.